An excerpt taken from Lady X by Cloudy Kahn. Exarilla Radley shivered from her dip in the ocean and stood in the wet sand as she shook herself off. She took a few steps further up the deep white sandy slope to where she had dropped her colourful beach towel, snapped it in the wind, and began drying herself off. She squeezed water out of her long black hair and shook it around herself as she looked up at the only home she had ever known. Spanish red tiles made up its many-tiered roof. Everything about the house was invitingly warm, and Exarilla smiled. She loved her home and was glad that it stood magnificent and strong against all storms. And it did. Nothing could touch it, because her mother, a powerful white witch, had enacted a protection spell right into its frame when it was being built. As she picked up her clogs and headed up the sandy slope for the long wide aisle of private boardwalk that led to the upper deck of her home, she suddenly stopped and listened. She amped up the volume but could not quite hear the words, though she heard the tone. Something was wrong. She could feel a power sweeping into the house, and it was like a dark wave, threatening and determined. Something dangerous had invaded. She closed her eyes. It was her father. And he wasn't alone. An excerpt taken from Kitty Bennett's diary by Anna Elliot.
I cannot imagine. I do not have to imagine. I saw it with my own eyes. Maybe I did not fight on the fields of Waterloo as you did. But I spent those days and nights in Brussels not knowing from one moment to the next whether I would live or die or be made a prisoner of the French army. And I saw the aftermath of the fighting. I saw the men and boys with their arms and legs shattered or gone, or their bellies torn open by enemy swords. I held their hands while they died, begging me to save them. I saw the field of battle after the fighting had done, the mounds of the dead, those not yet dead lying where they had fallen and crying and begging for aid. I remember it all. Every horrible, bloody moment of it. Hot tears were stinging my eyes, and I seemed to have entirely abandoned my efforts to be sympathetic. But I was too angry to care. And if I have to carry the memories around inside my head every day, then you do too. You are not allowed to take the easy way out.
An excerpt taken from The Hand Fasting by Becca St. John.
Who do you think you are, to be touching my body and saying I'm just right?
Touching my body. She could swallow her tongue.
The courtyard exploded with raucous humor. Eyes narrowed, she squeezed her mother's shoulders as though she could shut out the sound. Her mother tugged Maggie around to her side.
Settle yourself, lass.
Fiona fussed at the drape of Maggie's plaid, brushed at her tangled curls.
You must show some respect.
Maggie gaped. All was topsy-turvy. Her brothers, who never let a courtin' man near, tossed her to this mocker of women. Instead of a bellow of rage, her daw choked on his pleasure. And now her mother tells her to be respectful.
Child, her ma whispered in her ear, 'tis Talloch the Bold, the great Laird Mackay. You must greet him proper.
An excerpt taken from Disavowed by L.M. Browning. I fled my disillusionment naked, while all others were clothed still in the cloth of brotherhood bestowed upon them by their chosen faith. I became a monk without the sepia robes, a nun without the raven gowns. Thin-skinned and without sanctuary, I would have become victim to the harshness around me if it were not for you. You, who wove together the swatches of the cream and beige birch bark and spun on the loom the long strands of grasses that grow along the banks of the river so to give me back my robes. You, who strung together the woolly leaves of wild sage, interlaced with flowering lavender, and set it atop my head that I might be blessed. You, who took luminous strands of thread and quilted the dark blanket of the night sky with celestial patterns that we all might be comforted in the darkness and have a copy of the map that might lead us home, imprinted and scrolled out above us.
An excerpt taken from The Longing by Tamara Lee.
That is a lie.
She lifted her chin and passed the hair flying into her eyes, braved his grim, moonlit expression.
No lie. Ere her passing,
I do not believe you.
She felt her own anger stir beneath the layers of years, sensed it seeping and rising through her as it had done when Lady Rashenda had tried to steal Judas's breath. Calm, she counseled. Do not make this any worse than it already is. In a voice far from level, she said,
You do not have to believe what I say for it to be so.
It is not so. Never would she have trusted you.
Had I done what you think I did, she would not have let me so near her. But she believed different because she knew different.
She heard his teeth grind.
You are saying you did not carry tale to your brother of what you saw in the garden?
That is the truth.
He stepped so near that she startled.
I will not be taken in by your deceit, Susanna de Baglio. Mayhap Judith was, but not I.
An excerpt taken from Savashun by Simin Danishvar. Zari said, Yes, dear. In your opinion and that of your father and teacher, I am a coward, a weakling. I am always afraid that something might happen to one of you. I can't bear the thought. But I too, when I was a girl, I too was brave in my own way. Turning to Yusuf, she asked, Wasn't it brave of me, on that day of rioting, to walk with you, without having seen or known you before? What girl? If I want to stand up to anyone, I must first stand up to you. And then what a war of nerves will begin. Do you want to hear more truths? Then listen. It is you who have taken my courage away. I have put up with you for so long that it has become a habit with me. She didn't know what happened, but she lost all her self-restraint, patience, and tolerance. Suddenly she stood up from the chair, hit her belly hard with her hand, and said, I hope this one in my belly is aborted, aborted this very night. For you, I have gone to the brink of death and come back. Hanum Hakim ripped open my belly and spread out my insides. On my belly she drew a map.
An excerpt taken from Vigil for a Stranger by Kitty Burns Flore.
I was waiting to cross the street at the corner of 70th Street near the Frick, anticipating our conversation, figuring she wouldn't like my new haircut and trying to defend it in French.
Mais bien sûr, Sylvie, je dois porter mes cheveux comme je désire.
No, that couldn't be right.
Il faut que...
When from the knot of people at the curb, a woman in a red coat broke loose and dashed diagonally across Fifth Avenue, waving something in the air and narrowly avoiding being hit by a car, crying,
Oh, Mr. Pierce! Mr. Pierce!
A man on the other side of the street stopped, looked around as if bewildered, his back to me, and then the woman reached him, hung onto his arm for a second, and handed him a manila envelope. An excerpt taken from Serena by Cloudy Kahn.
You were a bit hard on your uncle before, don't you think?
He shouldn't have come,
Freddy returned sullenly. He can't think, I believe, that he came to watch hounds getting trained.
Absurd.
Why wouldn't he enjoy that? I thought you said he was keen on fox hunting.
Because he hunts the quorn, Freddy said, as though this was explanation enough.
Serena was curious. I got the impression when you mentioned his lordship to me, which you have more often than not, that you rather liked him. In fact, I remember you saying that your Uncle Danny was the best of old chaps.
Oh, as to that, I do like him.
Very fond of him. In fact, he's a great gun, you know.
But, well, never mind.